Rebecca, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the football season. We're storytelling, and I'm going to make Don Mohler really jelly because maybe it was for my 53rd birthday, but the Maryland Lottery, I got it's fancy. I have a fancy gold drinking thing. They said that they're tired of me not having these. So the Maryland Lottery is sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill this week. We're going to be with our mayor, Brandon Scott, at Coco's on November 17th. That's a Wednesday. I'll be getting the full schedule out in the coming days, certainly by the time the Ravens get the bye week here. Of course, our friends at State Fair, our friends at Fadley's, we're going to be back visiting with them. And Don, you know, this we talk about how do we build better cities? What do we do to make Baltimore more vibrant? I know you've wrestled up a guest today. It made me had to go to Google. So, you know, sometimes just when I think you're getting lazy, you throw me a curveball and, you know, you find something I can sink my teeth into. You know what I mean?
You never know. A blind squirrel, right? When I heard about Corey Bailey and the work that Upsurge Baltimore was doing, and we continue to try to tell this Baltimore positive story. And, you know, there's so much negativity out there. And when Corey, we hear about someone like you and the company, and I research it, look, and I can only understand about half of what it is, man. You need to fill us all in. But we welcome Corey Bailey, Relationship Development Director, Upsurge Baltimore. I say, by way of North Carolina, is that right, Corey?
That is right. Born and raised in North Carolina, been in Baltimore about 3.5 years now, and love it just like my hometown.
Well, Corey, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to Baltimore and what it was about this endeavor that floated your boat.
I just want to know about the Broncos hat. That's all I, you know.
this, my friend, is not a Broncos hat. This is a Durham Bulls hat.
Oh, it's a Durham Bulls hat. Look at that. All right. Fair enough. All right.
Durham Bulls hat. So that's a good segue. I'm originally from Durham, North Carolina. I grew up there in the 80s and 90s. So I always tell people it was the rise of Duke Carolina basketball and the fall of the tobacco industry. So I got a chance to sort of experience my own hometown, go through some challenges, much like many American cities do. A lot of demographics and things that sort of match with Baltimore. So ended up at the University of North Carolina, played football there for a while. I know we were talking a little bit about the Ravens before this started.
What era was that? When did you play there? Like Curry era? What era was that?
Ronald Curry is my quarterback. So same era, late 90s, early 2000s. Mac Brown's last year was my first year there. We went through some coaching changes and some challenges, but Ronald Curry, Julius Peppers, that era is my era.
I've done a little bit of sports around here, so I had to ask, you know.
Yeah, I mean he's sort of a legend in the Virginia Tidewater Hampton Roads area, and the current quarterbacks coach for the New Orleans Saints. So we stay in touch, and I love sort of watching him develop as a coach. But anyway, after sports, I got into the health club management business. I got really tech savvy in that endeavor. Became an entrepreneur. Did my own businesses for a while. And then in the mid-2010s, while living in Indianapolis, I got a chance to really plug in to the startup community, the tech community in a big way, working for a large corporation and then a startup, and got really, really interested in how cities can develop economically through innovation, through high-growth startups. And moving here 3.5 years ago to Baltimore, got really interested in potentially starting my own startup. Started to see who was out there in the ecosystem that could help. And there were some gaps. There were some things, some challenges that I ran into and some things that I felt like the ecosystem was lacking. And maybe not so much lacking, but I just didn't know where to find them. And so Upsurge Baltimore is really an ecosystem-wide effort to generate more high-velocity startups in Baltimore and you know grow the innovation and knowledge economy here and give more Baltimoreans the opportunity to plug into that. And so I'm really excited about the work that we're doing in the city. It really does touch every corner of the city, you know, from the grassroots and community development type of organizations all the way up to the major corporations. And I'm just excited to be a part of it.
Corey, for you with Baltimore, and you said you were in Indianapolis before. Obviously, I'm familiar with Chapel Hill and going down there when they opened the Dean Dome, lo these many years ago. Incidentally, to see Janet Jackson, but that's another story altogether.
a long time ago.
We're going late 80s here, right? But you said the similarities. Then you find Baltimore wherever you found it. 17, 18, it sounds like post-Freddie Gray. Sounds like in the middle of Trump. Sounds like in the middle of when I called Don and said, hey, I might run for mayor. Let's start this Baltimore positive thing and let's put a spin on this. You know what I mean? And then, you know, here we are 4 years later. Brandon is doing his best and we've got a different president now. And we have people. And like, I did my show last week at Mother's down in Federal Hill. I live in Federal Hill and walk around. See all these young people. And they're wearing Bills hats or Durham hats or Broncos hats, or and they're white, they're black, they're young, they're male, they're female, they're 30-something or 20-something, but they look like they didn't grow up in Dundalk like me. They don't talk like me, walk like me, and they're not my generation. And I'm thinking, what are you doing here? And, you know, I have friends with incubators in South Baltimore. My friend Greg Cangelosi, his wife Teresa, was my guest last week from So Botanicals on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And please, everybody go listen to that stuff, because I had four female business owners on in South Baltimore. Don was running Baltimore County 3.5 years ago, literally, right? So trying to figure it out. And where we are now, I feel like there's opportunity, and I certainly feel like I see cranes in the sky now. We've been through this COVID thing and discussed all that, and I do sense that there's, maybe it's because it's not an election season or whatever it is, that people feel like they're picking up the pieces. And the places I go, I see new things, clean things, black-owned businesses, you know, new people, young people. I talk about it with the Ravens game all the time, that like they're different people having different rituals. They're younger. They're 25 years younger than me. And what's your potentiality? I mean, you see Baltimore. Why are you here? I always wonder what, when grownups choose to come here, what they see here. You know what I see here? My home, my whole life. That's why I'm here. I love when people come here and say, and see the assets of the harbor and the charm and the history and the shipping and 95 and all of that.
Yeah. Well, Nestor, my dad's originally from Philadelphia.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But when I told him, you know, when he asked me a couple months in, like, hey, what's Baltimore like? What's it feel like to you? I said, you know, it sort of feels like Durham meets Baltimore, right? It's got this small town feeling to it, but it's got this rich history, this bone structure that is just ripe for development. You know, it's a town trying to be a city. And we have this crazy idea coming out of the pandemic and all the craziness that last year was, that we can tell a new story for Baltimore, that we can really sort of have a transformational moment. And all of those young people that you see walking around, it's because they feel it too. They're coming out of Hopkins, Morgan State, Coppin, Loyola, UMBC, University of Maryland, Baltimore, you know, all of the
CCBC.
Hey, there you go. CCBC.
I'm not going to pimp UB. I'm, you know, Kurt Schmoke and I have a talk about that. So.
UB, Micah, College Park. Like there's a center of gravity here and rich assets and just this spirit and energy and activity of development in a positive way, be more positive, right? And, you know, there's a lot of leaders here that I think are starting to align on this vision and this crazy idea that we might be able to build the most inclusive innovation economy in the world, where people that haven't traditionally been supported, funded, and have their ideas get to market can do that in a place like Baltimore. And I think we're going to do it. It's a long-term vision. It'll take sustained and consistent effort. But I think there's a coalition of willing people here now, like you said.
But why Baltimore? Give me, like, how did it happen? How did you get recruited or recruit yourself here?
Well, so
you've been here, you've been coming here in the 80s and 90s for a ball game or like a something.
You know, I've been here for Army Navy games. I got to play here preseason with the Jets. Like it was just a place that you came when the opportunity presented.
What preseason game with the Jets? Was that Rex Ryan's era?
2002 Herm Edwards.
Herm. Okay. All right. All right.
But you know, there is a rich history of life sciences, biotech startups here. My wife at the time was recruited to lead a marketing organization for PGDX. Shout out to Personal Genome Diagnostics, doing amazing things in the biotech space in Baltimore. She's now the CEO there and doing wonderful things. But, you know, coming here and starting to understand the startup landscape, you mentioned Greg Cangelosi. He's one of the very early people that I talked to about Baltimore. And he was the one that said, like, hey, everything is sort of aligned and ready for Baltimore to come together and be.
All my friends know each other, Moeller. See that? See that?
It's a connection. Well, I want to pick up on that piece. This is what intrigued me. And what I'm trying to do, Corey, for folks who are listening, is to really have them understand what Upsurge is. In other words, when I look through all your stuff and listen to you talk, I hear knowledge economy, tech-enabled businesses, local and national entrepreneurs. What is it? Somebody said to me one time, it's always important to ask folks what the it is. So I'm saying to you, what is Upsurge that people can understand it?
Upsurge is two things. One, and primarily, we are an ecosystem engine. So we are bringing, you mentioned incubators, accelerators, educators, universities, workforce development organizations, talent development organizations, corporations, all bringing that focus in.
All of this starts with, I have an idea though, right? Like literally, exactly. Somebody has an idea and you're like, I haven't heard of that before. So it's kind of hard to explain what it is, right?
It starts with founders, people who have ideas that want to disrupt certain markets, get into them and create a new business in that space, whether it's cyber, life sciences, ed tech, fintech, crypto, property tech, you name it. There's so many different industries that need to be disrupted. And the brilliance of Baltimore and the genius that lives here, we want to be able to support those founders that want to get those ideas to market. Many of them are right now. There's some wonderful startups accelerating in Baltimore at the, you know, later stages, some, you know, primed for growth, some at the very early stages. And so each generation of founders, we're here to support, help them grow. And then once we build what we call the first Equitech city in the world, which means technology that is focused on creating equity and good in the world, technology that is built by teams that are diverse, that look like all of us on the screen, that understand the true strength and diversity of team leadership and ideas and innovation, and companies that are, you know, traditionally started by underestimated founders, people who haven't traditionally gotten their ideas to market. We want Baltimore to be a place where all of that happens.
So Corey, Corey Bailey's here, Upsurge. I go ahead, Don.
Now, I was going to try to connect it to you, Nestor, because I always say you're the most, one of the most entrepreneurial guys I know. So let's say a Nestor Aparicio or the others like Nestor have this germ of an idea. Do they then seek you out, or do you seek them out to create a partnership and support? What is the I'm still trying to understand the they're not all in one building, right? They're spread out, I'm assuming. Yeah.
Well, I also want to say one thing, Corey. I mean, I've been down to City Garage, and I don't know if you can just compare. Don, have you been to City Garage with me? He has been. Okay.
We
were all set to do a mayoral debate down there, right? Like literally the week of COVID, you know, when the original election was had. We had all Jack Young, everybody was committed to coming down. That is an incubator that I've seen that I can, you know, I don't have apples and oranges. I only have apples, right? I haven't been in 10 of these places. But Don, it feels to me like it was a little bit like a cross street market of stands of little spaces where people can work. And Corey, I'll be honest with you, man, COVID, the last time I was in there, Kevin Plank was in there that day. I said hello to him and, you know, I sort of moved and grooved through. It wasn't very crowded that day, but there's a second floor loft and there's open spaces where it looks like hipsters are having coffee and you can whiteboard here and cube out there and veg out there and chill out there and create over there. And it felt like these people make widgets and those people make fidgets and these people are trying to invent that and those people are trying to print that. And maybe having them all in there has a benefit. Corey, I would say to you that during this 2-year period of nothingness, people are doing it here. I got an iMac here now, and I broadcast here, and I learn Zoom here, and I run everything from here. It is a different world in that way than maybe conceptually, even for my friends at like MOI who got me this desk and, you know, outfit big organizations. I'm not sure what the new model is going to look like for any business and how they construct in a room anymore or in the same place, because nobody feels like they need to be in the same. We've run the world not being in the same place anymore.
That's a good thing, though. So what that does is, and I'll say this, we need more spaces and places in Baltimore that have that sort of shared idea where venture, creation, ideas, a Kevin Plank can walk through a space and you can get a little bit of proximity to someone who's built a company like Under Armour. We need that.
In the old days, he did it in the garage, in the basement. Yeah. You're providing the garage or the basement, right?
But in a way that invites, you know, everyone from that journey to be a part of it.
And you can walk down the hall and get help.
Right. And you've got spaces like City Garage. You've got Spark Baltimore, where Fearless is doing amazing things. You've got the new Towson startup up in the county. You know, there's plenty of spaces and places out there for people to convene, connect, and share ideas that will then influence where they take their business.
How do you connect to them, I guess, is what I'm asking.
So Upsurge is a conduit. I mean, we are the sort of the center of gravity where an idea, someone with an idea comes and says, hey, I've got this transformational idea. I need to know who to talk to. And then we send you to someone like Greg, or we send you down to City Garage, or we send you up to what Patrick McQuillan is doing.
Is this itself resources to get legal help and
all of it, legal help, support,
venture capital,
introductions to VCs and investors.
Right.
You know, you need to talk to Tedco. You need to go talk to Squadra. You're doing something in this space, so let's have you talk to PTX.
So you're the connecting tissue. You're the one that's taking this and saying, now let us connect you with people so that we can create this energy, this whole idea that, you know, more than the sum of the parts, and we become a really exciting operation. One of the things it seems to me, Corey, in reading through your stuff and talking with you this morning, is you guys aren't thinking about today and tomorrow. One of the things, there are a lot of folks running for governor and they, you know, and many, many good candidates on both sides. And one of the things that I hear Wes Moore talk about all the time is the future. The future. We've got to stop thinking in government about the next year or two or the next term. We have to really have a future vision for what Maryland looks like. And that seems to really, that kind of thing that Wes is talking about seems to tap into what you're suggesting. So my question for you is, not a year or two down the road, if Upsurge is successful, how will you measure that success in 10 or 20 years? What will have happened because of what you're doing?
Yeah, I love that you mentioned Wes. He's a good friend and neighbor. And he does talk about the future and not in those sort of short 2-year or 4-year election cycles. And I love that, because that's the mentality that we need government to have. That's the mentality that we need, you know, community organizations to have. It has to be, how do we set ourselves on a path 10, 15, 20 years from now to have and live in the type of city that we really want to? So for us right now, we're at the very early stages of this. A lot of what we measure is activity and intersections, how often we're convening people, what proximity are we able to put innovators and entrepreneurs in touch with corporations, investors. So a lot of that is sort of being fleshed out right now as far as what we measure down the road. But I can tell you, in the future, if we're successful, we see more Baltimoreans in knowledge economy jobs, having the type of wages that they can not only sustain their families, but create some wealth for their families. We see more kids excited about getting plugged into the knowledge economy and innovation. Not everyone can be Lamar Jackson or LeBron James, but everyone can be Isaac Kende or someone who has an idea, gets it to market, and builds a strong team around that idea to create a great company. So for us, it looks like more Baltimoreans and more great jobs. It looks like more innovation and the eyes on Baltimore in a positive light, like, wow, there's some really amazing companies and innovators and programs for kids coming out of that space. And it looks like a Baltimore where everyone that, you know, lives in the city can live in a place that they're proud of, can help invest in their own communities, can grow and sort of prosper in place and watch their neighborhoods develop around them. And we're excited about those challenges and sort of stepping in and saying we want to be a part of that.
Well, it's really Nestor, it's really an optimistic approach. I mean, this is an approach that says, and Nestor's been on this theme for a long time, that we're optimistic about this city, and your company seems to be saying, stop, you know, yes, do we have challenges? Of course, but I'm telling you, we've got a vision and we can make it different. I imagine that folks out there who are listening to this, Corey, are actually jazzed up a little bit now, and they want to touch base with you and find out more about Upsurge and make some connections. So folks who are listening to this and say, man, I want to talk to that guy. I want to learn more about this. How do they track you down?
Hey, you can contact me directly. My email is Corey@UpsurgeBaltimore.com, Corey with a K. If you want to just learn more about the organization, you can go to www.UpsurgeBaltimore.com. There's a way for you to contact us there. We've got a great newsletter that goes around the startup community and ecosystem that really gives people, good information about what's happening there. So plug in, you know, if you're an organization that works with youth development, startups, tech, anything, we're welcoming you into that fold, and we would love to work with you.
Corey, I just want to piggyback on what Don said, because, you know, sometimes these conversations lead me in a different direction, but I sort of remember the beginning of Baltimore Positive now as being a football season. I think it was it 4 years ago you were running the county, or is it three, Don? Four? 17?
I finished in three.
See how the years pass, especially when you've had a plague or two. And I remember traveling to Indianapolis because I went to the combine every year. And that season, the Ravens played in Charlotte. I'm trying to think of the other towns. It wasn't Detroit, but I had been there recently. Cleveland, we play in Cleveland every year, and I go every year, but I sort of hung out there a little bit more. And all of these places I went, I thought to myself, and I'm old. Today's my 53rd birthday, by the way. So I'm old. I've been doing this a long time.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, geez. Yeah. God, I'm sorry. Now he's going to sing the...
Say it's your birthday.
No.
Which version do you want?
God, no. I just don't want the St. Joe fight song for crying. My back hurts.
Happy birthday to
Yeah.
So, Corey, what I want to say is I was traveling around in these cities, and I woke up in Charlotte.
Stevie, we'll do Paul. Which one do you want?
I want you to hit your mute button and so thank you. That helps me dramatically. So I woke up in Charlotte one day, and I I've been going to Charlotte for 30 years, right? I'm like, this place used to be a little ish hole, you know, like this place is nice. And Indianapolis, I've been going forever, right? Since they stole our football team, right? And it had a mall downtown, and then I'm like, this place is nice. And then, you know, then I go to Cleveland and I'm like, Cleveland, I remember Cleveland. Cleveland's nice. And I'm thinking to myself, why can't we have nice? You know, and I sort of brought that concept back of, you know, cities go through that. And when you do the research on what riots in late 60s in Detroit and Baltimore and all these places, I drove through Camden, New Jersey recently. And it's like, oh my God. Like, but then it becomes potential for someone to come in with an idea, with a concept, but it takes community, it takes people, it takes somebody to believe in it. And that's the first thing. It's not getting fixed unless anybody believes in it, right? Somebody has to believe in it. And I don't know why Baltimore is so hard for people to believe in. Maybe if you've watched The Wire and you're living in fantasy land, but I think the amount of assets here, it's not that hard to believe in. It's going to take better people.
Yeah, 100%. And I wouldn't say better people. I would say it would take the people that are really focused on making Baltimore the city we want to create and live in.
I always say better people because that's, you know, I'm flippant like that because I really people need to get better.
But yes, we as people can get better. So we have the right people. We're all still improving, right? But we're all aligning. And that's what I love. We're becoming a city that doesn't try to do it on our own anymore. Like we're trying to do this together. And you're right. There is a growth process that comes with developing a major American city. And some of those cities in the Midwest really leaned into their assets and their strengths. And
well, they recruited you to Indianapolis. Who the hell would go there? They don't even have crabs there, dude.
It's a wonderful town, you know, and they've got a really thriving innovation and startup community. And it took a coalition of willing participants in the public, private, government. They all aligned and said, we have to do this together. And that's what Baltimore is doing right now. They're saying we have to do this together. There's still some fleshing out about, you know, what that looks like and who's responsible for what. But that's what we're figuring out right now. And so once we have sort of that tight-knit group and that vision and younger people, next generation sort of plugging into that as we continue on this process, it's only going to get better and better. So if I said this when I got to Baltimore, there is no complacency here. Whether you're doing something great or not, people have grit, they have hustle, they have resilience here. We just need to align it in a way that grows the economy and the innovation economy and knowledge economy in a way that really helps more Baltimoreans.
Corey, appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Corey Bailey, Upsurge Baltimore is the site. Upsurge
Corey,
Baltimore.
I hope you will come back.
No, do you eat crab cakes, dude?
Of course I eat crab cakes.
Dude, I got to ask a guy. You might be barbecue. You might be vegan for all I know. You look all healthy and all that. So, you know, I'm just checking in.
I got three boys and I just work out to keep up with them.
So, you know what? We're going to do a show down at Fadley soon in the city of Lexington Market. We're just going to have a free-for-all down there one morning and have about six or eight folks doing good stuff. Have you all come down, have some oysters, eat some crab cakes. Hit that mac and cheese if you know what I'm talking about. So,
hey, sign me up.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Corey Bailey, UpsurgeBaltimore.com. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County Executive here. My friends at the Maryland Lottery are giving me fancy mugs, so I'm going to be hugging this and having fun. We're going to be at the Nick's Grandstand Grill doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And they even gave me a fun mask. I put this on now. I'll have a good time with that on Fridays. Don and I are going to get back out to State Fair and wearing a State Fair shirt here today. And the Crab Cake Tour continues. We're going to be all over the county. I was at the Rockin' at the Races with the Beverage Association last week, seeing lots and lots of people to place lots and lots of Fridays. But we are doing a Wednesday, November 17th, with the mayor, Brandon Scott. That's going to be at Coco's. I am Nestor. He is Don Moeller. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.